It's John Holmberg here, shilling away from my friends at Testragain. I'm 44 years old right now, and you know, as much as I think I'm a young, strapping lad, natural father time stuff has started to happen to me already, and naturally, my testosterone levels are not necessarily what they used to be. And people are always on about, oh, go get testosterone, shot in here, shot in there, doing everything you can. It is the master male hormone, but it can be dangerous to introduce it to your body in an unnatural way. That's why I take Testragain. It supports healthy testosterone levels and talks your body into producing testosterone naturally. It's a supplement that really gets your body back to what it's supposed to be doing. Healthy stamina levels, muscle repair, these are all things testosterone does for you and helps you increase your energy as well. Go to the website, ZMANow.com. Enter the code JOHN20, JOHN20, and get 20% off your order. Get your body back to the testosterone machine it used to be with a little help from Testrogain.
All right, here we go. All right, it's not going to top already what happened off the air. I mean, my God, your stories about your vacations, Donnell, are better than anything you could possibly get on.
I'm rich, bitch!
There he is. It's him. Donnell Rawlings is here. Welcome, sir.
It wasn't a story about a vacation. It was like I was doing a show, but oh, okay. I do have the life. My life is vacation.
Your job's a vacation.
Yeah, I was in the Bahamas maybe like 3 weeks ago. I was in the Bahamas 3 weeks ago, and I'm at a bar. And Bahamas, the drinking age is 18.
Yeah.
So I'm at the bar with one of my buddies, and I heard this girl say, well, I'm not going to get a drink because I'm 17. And the minute she said that, I felt like a Chris Hansen was about to jump out.
I got
to
get out of here.
Yeah. I was like this. I was just here for the cookies, man. Yeah. Just the cookies. Right? And then the other one said, I am because I'm 18. And it threw me off. I left, but it was just weird. You know what I mean? Because to see, like, an 18-year-old at a bar, you know what I'm saying? I'm well past my...
Were you alone? 18-year-old. You had to be with friends that told
I was
you.
I was with one of my friends. We didn't know. It was spring break.
Oh, yeah.
It was
you didn't
break.
Get the line, I've never been with someone older than my dad.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't got... I've heard the black version of that. But I never
Wait
heard
a minute.
The older than
What's
your dad.
The black version? Is it Are You
I've
My
never,
Dad?
No, I've never been with a black guy before.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I was going to say. I had
that version of it, yeah. But I didn't have the age version of it.
My bigotry kicked in immediately.
Yeah,
what
I was like,
that
whoa,
be?
Wait a minute. Yeah. But I didn't. It was just interesting. The whole weekend was interesting because, you know, it was spring break, but it was like parents with their kids over there. So you'll see like an 18-year-old kid, and you see like a MILF. Is it okay? Is that politically correct
to say MILF? Yeah, we have a MILF contest tomorrow.
Oh, man, I got to be there.
You can. You want to judge
life.
It?
I would love to judge it.
Can you do it?
I can. Can I do a MILF?
Well, I'm just saying.
Contest?
No, you don't have to do that
yeah,
part.
Yeah.
It's can 7
you,
to 9.
It's, yeah, it's two,
seven
couple hours. If you want to come in and judge it, we'd
I'll definitely
glad to have you.
But it was funny because the MILF, cougar, whatever term they use now,
yeah.
I was at this little lounge, and I was dancing with her, right? And she was backing it up. Can I say back
that
ass
back
up?
Oh, yeah.
Back
that
she
ass
was backing
up.
That ass up, right? And I was like, oh, oh. Because that's when the chick backed that ass up, a black person automatically throws a, oh, oh. If you ever see an ass being backed up and it's not following, oh, oh. He's like, he's not really, really black. You know
that means
saying?
It's go time.
Yeah, yeah. He's almost there, yeah. Right?
His mom was Asian.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We know how that is. He was adopted. No disrespect. But the ass is coming away. It's like, oh, oh. And then she backed it up. And then I hear this voice in the background said, Mom!
Oh!
And it was the MILF's cougar's daughter that was going through the casino because it's spring break week. But they had chaperones. But, you know, what can I do? She continued to back the ass up, and I continued to,
and you you hooked up with both.
Did you? Not
hooked up. You know what? You've been talking about this. He's been trying to push me into this pornographic thought. He was like, anytime he changes his voice, he said, yeah, the mom-daughter hookup.
Yeah, he gets creepy about it. Yeah.
Like he's heard it or he's Googled it.
Have you ever
done
that?
What?
Tell
me
the mom-daughter?
More.
I haven't done the mom-daughter
do you
hookup.
You want to?
I don't want to. Come on, man.
You would.
Just
yeah, but I'm talking about like the people. No, here's the other thing. I always ask people this. This is the creepiest thing in the world to me. Twins, same time. Interested?
Yeah, I could do that.
And that's like you and like a family
he
member.
He brings in the incest.
But let me
incest.
Explain something. Everybody's, you know, every guy's fantasy at some point is like, I want to be with two chicks.
Right.
But here's the deal. If you're a jealous, angry, bitter person, one chick is worse.
Right.
With two chicks.
Right.
Because I had this situation, supposed to have been like birthday celebration, right? I had two chicks at the same damn time. Future has a song about it. I had two chicks at the same time. And all of a sudden, I started getting jealous and petty. I looked at one, I was like, hold on. You worked on me for 4 minutes.
Yeah.
You've been working on her for an hour and a half.
Yeah. where's mine?
You start getting like, I'm stupid?
Yeah.
You know, like, y'all, how y'all cheating on me when I'm cheating on y'all? It doesn't work like
you're
that.
You're here
so,
for me.
Yeah, if that's something you want. And I heard Arizona's a place, they get down.
Is that right?
I heard they get down. They do some crazy stuff. I heard if you're a part of that community.
The swinger community?
Yeah, like, this may be wrong, but you're supposed to have a purple rock.
There's rocks in the front yard.
Really?
I found this. I had neighbors.
Is that true?
One street over, they had them stacked up, and there's some sort of little symbol they put next to their front door.
I heard there's a gnome, too.
Yeah, there's something you can put up, but they stack these rocks, and if one of them's like a color,
then you just
that's
knock
the
on the door?
That's what I wanted to know, and I kind of wanted to see.
I wonder
like,
what the restrictions are for that.
Yeah. Well, if you're putting a rock out, it's an invitation.
A certain skin tone? What color do your rocks have to be? Like, if you have dark rocks?
Yeah.
You are dark. Yeah.
No, there's a purple rock, and then the white one next to it. Oh, I'm not.
And it's a gray one for ashy people like myself.
Ashy layer gets gray.
Yeah, you got to
like Sudanese people are the darker rocks.
I think you exactly. If it's granite.
Yeah.
If it's
we don't like your rock kind here.
Yeah.
You know, but
didn't you see the rock?
Yeah.
Step away from my door.
But I'm not gonna say I don't know why, but I got here last night and this morning I woke up beautiful weather, beautiful energy, and I'm really really excited to be here, man.
Good.
Like I feel good. I just left Winston-Salem. I'm not knocking Winston-Salem.
Yeah.
But Dave Chappelle last weekend was performing in Vegas in front of 12,000 people, knowing that his opening act.
Yeah.
And he was like, 3 weeks before the show, he's like, are you coming to Vegas? How do you say that to somebody?
Right.
Yeah.
You going to come to Vegas? I'm like, for what? He was like, oh, the show. Long story short, I was already committed to the show.
Right.
That I was doing.
Right.
And I couldn't pull the trigger.
To get out of it.
To get to Vegas.
Winston-Salem.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't
oh, you couldn't finish in Winston.
I couldn't figure it. So now I'm trying to find something in my mind.
Could make good here.
No. I'm trying to – when I was in Winston, I'm like, how do I make this better? I'm like, you know what? I would have performed for 12,000 people. Those 12,000 people came to see Dave Chappelle.
Right.
They didn't know I was going to be there. I was a guest.
Right.
I said, but the people that come into Winston-Salem, North Carolina, they come to see Donnell Wrong.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm there for.
So there's your silver lining.
But then when I walked in the door, it was 15 people in the audience. Right? And then one of the comedians said, yeah, this is a good club. But he said, they don't really promote that much. I'm like, what? I could have been Vegas and they don't promote that much?
You had 11,985 people
less. I would have missed it. But and the point of the story is, like, the energy was kind of weird there. But when I came here from the airport to the hotel to everybody I was running to, it's been a good time.
It's all been good.
It's been good. I went downtown. The restaurants, it's just, it's a dope vibe.
Oh, it's good. Well, good. I'm glad you like it. That'll be fun. And if you really want to do Judge tomorrow, it's a weird contest. It's fun. Tomorrow's more of a MILF talent show. In the past,
man,
we've
I'm
had
telling you,
do
if
stuff.
If I'm invited,
you're more than
invited. If I'm invited, I'm definitely coming.
All right, we'll get you here. Brad, you got to get up, bring him in here tomorrow. We're going to have an Englishman in here, but they're boring. So you're.
Well, what category do I judge them on?
Well, see, this is it. You and two other judges will sit here. We have Baxter. Frank Caliendo has a nanny. He lives in Phoenix, we got
a
number. And it's a man who lives in his house named
a
Baxter.
Manny?
Weirdest dude in the world.
Right.
And he comes in and helps judge. You'll be one. And then two guys who do a podcast called Small Town Murder.
Okay.
Two comedians that do that here in town. They do that. So they were going to judge tomorrow. And it's just you guys just kind of can talk between each act. And say who's good, and then we eliminate them as they go. It gets a little weird sometimes. Like they have
but
to tell
can
a story.
But can I name a category like who could get it?
Who could get it?
Yeah.
You mean like front runner?
Yeah. No, like who could get it? Like
oh, like you could actually give it to
get
them.
It? Yeah.
Well, the one
that could be the tiebreaker.
Now here's the thing: we ask these girls, much like Patrice O'Neill used to say, "If you lost your vagina in a horrible train wreck, what would you do to make me like you?" And they all say, "My butt and my mouth and all that stuff." And he's like, "Not one of you said learn to tell better stories or play Xbox." When we asked what your talent was, like half of them said BJ's.
Really?
So if you want to be the judge of that particular talent, we are more than willing.
Yo, I'm
to
stuck
allow
right
that.
Now.
Oh,
I just
no.
did the mannequin challenge
I'm in
studio. Yeah. And you said it. They said it like that. It wasn't even a question. BJ's,
yeah,
BJ's for 1,000.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
That's their talent.
What I've heard that comes with being a MILF, that's part of the requirement.
That'd be great.
You could be the room manther.
Yeah.
Right. I am going to be the manther.
Yeah. All right. You'll be the manther.
Yeah,
Donnell Rollins will be here tomorrow.
Why am I getting so excited about tomorrow,
man? I'm excited now because you're going to be here and potentially that talent will be on display.
Yes.
No, in the past, too, the past judges, you're a good John Lovitz did it.
Yeah, Lovitz have done it. Bert Kreischer.
John's a good guy.
Yeah, they're all good.
Oh, my God.
Kreischer went nuts.
Did he get naked?
He couldn't wait.
Yeah.
He got drunk and naked.
Like, I wanted to report him the other day because he tweeted a picture with clothes on. I'm like,
something's going wrong.
Y'all should block this, man. Yeah, Bert's a good Good
well,
guy.
In the meantime, you can see Donnell over at Tempe Improv, tempeimprov.com, 480-921-9877, at Donnell Rawlings on Twitter. You tweet a lot.
Yeah, Donnell Rawlings, Chris. There's no way around it now.
Yeah, you got to be part of it.
Yeah.
And we got to talk about that. Everybody's asking us, like, the funeral for Charlie Murphy was obviously a sad event. That was kind of a quiet passing.
Yeah, it was his closest, his cousin's manager, he's spoken at that. Charlie didn't want to be defined by the health issues he had at the time. And, you know, some people, like, you have some people, like, when they get sick and things happen to them, they want to trouble the world with their pain.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, I feel this way. And I do understand that. But some people, like, it may sound weird to anybody else, but I'll just take it. I don't want to.
He took it and
stress,
you know,
deal with it myself.
Made it his own. Nobody else.
I don't want to pile it on anyone else.
And then his kids even said it, you know, like, he kept it away. I know physically they probably know something was going on with their dad. But they just lost their mom years ago to cancer. So for them to go through that, and like Charlie even said in an interview, you don't forget. You know, you move on, you don't forget things.
Oh,
it changes the course of your life. And for them, I guess, to hear that again, that
would
have been a troubling
thing.
They
wouldn't pile that on them and let them worry for the entire time.
It would have been a troubling thing.
Up.
And as much as, like, you know, everyone says, you know, like, you know, people assess, you know, death is interesting because people deal with it different ways.
Yeah.
Certain people pass away. We all have some sympathy and empathy in our heart. You know, if you hear about someone passing away, you might not respond the same way as everybody else. Like somebody might, like, you remember Mike Jenkins? They'd be like, yeah, you heard he passed away. And your response might be like, okay.
Yeah, right.
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 Yeah. You'd be like, only okay.
You're supposed to drop to your knees or something.
He lasted that long?
Yeah, Mike Jenkins owed me $10,000. If he didn't die, I planned on killing his ass next week. So he saved me a charge. You know what I'm saying? Certain people, you feel that way. It doesn't make you a horrible person.
No.
Yeah, but Charlie Murphy, like, and you hear on social media, everything, he just made everybody feel so good.
That's
like,
what I was reading about.
I've been around him in the presence of him and his brother.
Yeah.
And Charlie Murphy was always the biggest personality.
Is that right?
In the room with him and Eddie?
With Eddie even.
Oh, the first time he came in.
Yeah, he was always a big personality. Yeah. That was him. You could tell their relationship was probably like Eddie looked up to him.
Yeah.
You know, Charlie probably wanted his life to go a certain way. And Eddie was like more of the performer. He was like, could look at him like, yo, I could kill this. But as much as people say Charlie Murphy, he was so young, he was 57, and that's true. But I don't believe everybody is going to live to 90, 100 years old. And then when we put on this earth, we have the beginning, 19, whatever you were born, we have that dash. Everybody gets the dash. And then you have the end. And at the end of the day, it's what the hell do you do with your dash?
Yeah. Beautiful.
You know what I'm saying? How are you running your dash? All right, you're 100 years old. You lived on the same block for 100 years. You sat on the same stoop. You drank the same sweet tea for 100 years. That long-ass dash, that's all you did? I know with my dash, I'm probably going to get two chicks at the same time. Yeah, I mean, don't judge me by my
dash.
With my dash, I'm going to judge the MILF contest tomorrow.
Right. Oh.
So what I will say, and the dopest thing about Charlie Murphy's relationship with Chappelle's show is when we did the Rick James sketch, Comedy Central didn't even think it was funny.
I know.
They said that it's too long, it's too much Charlie, it's not funny.
It's not Dave enough. I remember reading that.
Yeah.
And Neil Brennan told me that they almost like just stymied the whole show because of that.
But it ripped. But one thing I say, in Charlie Murphy's passing, RIP, I love you, brother, you know, the one thing you didn't hear in the reports was Eddie Murphy's brother dies.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You didn't hear that.
True.
When you heard it, all the headlines was Charlie Murphy dies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to that, you know, I'm here.
He made his dash.
He made his dash. And all I want to do, and it inspired me to want to go harder because that's what his nature was. Kill him. He worked to his death. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
He kept going. That's why I didn't know it was that.
He kept going. And like, and people said that it looked like his body was taking a turn not for good.
Yeah.
But his energy, his spirit was almost like – it's always the same. So
that?
With that, I'm inspired that to make me come
that's
out
awesome.
Here and kill shows.
I like the dash analogy.
Light
that's
up
awesome.
That dash.
The amazing thing that I'd like to get into that is that as a comedian, you're right, people handle death totally different, and most comedians deflect it with something crazy.
Right.
That funeral had to be filled with some of the darkest humor ever. It's sad, but there's that many funny people.
Yeah,
somebody
but it
had to break it.
Was, I'm going to tell you something. It really made you like – what his life meant to people.
Yeah.
You know, it was a couple times, man, I was trying to be tough because I was so scared of Charlie. I thought he might open the casket up and say, what you crying for, Ashley?
Yeah.
You know, and I
couldn't. So intimidating.
It was a moment where I couldn't hold it.
Yeah.
I broke down, and me and Dave was like, you guys want to say something? And Dave, we were sitting beside each other, and Dave was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to say, man. I was like, first off, you're Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
So
it'll come to you.
Anything that you say is going to be from a truthful, honest.
From the heart.
Like, even if you say, I don't know what to say, it's going to be truthful.
Right.
And we went up there. It wasn't like we didn't know we were going to talk anything. We didn't know what we were going to say. But it was one point in the funeral, man, and I just felt that everything was going to be okay because Charlie's kids were in the front row. And Dave Chappelle looked him right in the face and said, let me explain something. Your dad, I said, the next sentence I'm going to say, your dad said the sentence that changed my life forever. And when he told me, he said, I fought Rick James on several occasions.
And it did. It changed lives.
And I'm telling you, that joke, like in the cafeteria, in the lunchroom,
yeah.
Charlie has so many stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when he said, oh, yeah, I fought Rick James on several occasions, which makes you do tell.
Yeah, you have to know the rest of that.
And that's where it started.
And that's it.
And that's what it was.
Yeah. And it kind of breaks the ice of the whole thing, but like his dash was worth the dash.
It was dash. I mean, like,
that's a cool way to put that.
He kicked ass. He started comedy in his early 40s. Some people are ready to retire or quit at that time.
Yeah.
Charlie Murphy, when he first started, the Chappelle Show was so successful that he was basically an open micer.
Yeah.
Selling out across the country.
Right.
He wasn't even thinking about doing comedy. He was so tough. Like, I used to always, we was to roast each other, right? And I used to always say, yeah, you so tough, but I bet you won't touch a microphone.
Oh.
And I was like, that's your kryptonite, right?
Yeah.
And every time I would say microphone, he'd be like, ubba-da, ubba-da, ubba-da. So one day, I said, we're going to do a tour, the I'm Rich Bitch tour.
Right.
I was like, but Charlie needs jokes. So I took him to an open mic, and I kept bullying him and bullying him. He went on stage. He only did like 10 minutes.
Right.
But when we were on the road, it was me, Charlie, and Bill Burr. All we needed Charlie to do was 10 minutes.
Right.
But he had to learn. He went from open micer to a headliner.
Yeah.
Like, quick. Selling out.
Yeah.
Like, he could count on the hand how many times he did open mic.
I remember the first time somebody talked to me about his stand-up, they're like, it's not good. And it was when he first started.
And he first started. But people don't understand.
Last time, people were like, he was a killer.
Because people don't understand. Like, he started at 6 months with people just learning their voice.
Yeah.
He was selling out.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do? Like, I'm going to go to the Batcave and turn down this money?
Right.
You got to do it. So you had to learn on the road. And I don't know if anybody can imagine the pressure of going on stage. And first off, you're Eddie Murphy's brother.
You look a lot like him, too.
You look a lot like him. Yeah. So, and people are haters.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they can't wait to say, he's not. This is one thing in the backfire. He's like, he's no Eddie Murphy.
Right.
But as he continued to do it, you realize he wasn't Eddie Murphy.
No.
He was Charlie Murphy.
Yeah.
And people used to tell him, you need to pick your pace up. You need to do this. And he called me Nelson. Uh-huh. You know you tough when you could just rename somebody. You know what I'm saying?
And it has no bearing on anything.
I'm like, what does it mean? I'm just going to call you Nelson. Right? And like, he was like, Nelson.
You never explained that?
No, he never explained.
He just called you Nelson.
And everybody that's close to me, no, they call me Nelson too. He was like,
you're a badass. I'm changing your name for everybody, not just me.
I didn't want no problems with
him. Oh, yeah.
I didn't want no problems.
He gives you that look.
And I don't know about what that says about you because you let it happen.
No, it's not that. You know, you get to a certain age
right.
where you make calculated decisions.
Right. I'm Nelson now.
You know what I'm saying? Charlie Murphy at the point was probably like a fifth degree black belt.
Yeah, you don't need that. Yeah.
He was really gusto. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
His hands looked like he hit bricks. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'm a comedian. I could possibly maybe win a fight with Charlie, but suppose I get a black eye or whatever, then my performance is going to be different.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's going to be. When you got a black eye, you got to open with a black eye joke. Like, as soon as you go up, you got to be like, you should see the other guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You got to change your whole act because Charlie Murphy kicked your ass just because you wouldn't accept being Nelson for a few minutes.
And I know that it helped him. He needed that assistance. So I was like, okay, I'm Nelson.
You were an enabler.
I was in
the neighborhood,
and I was like, just, you know what? I know
just don't hit me.
I was like, Charlie, listen. And he was like, Nelson, that's the way they do it, and that's what makes them them. But I'm going to do it my way, and that'll make me me.
Yeah.
And I've heard it, too. I remember when he first started, people like, whatever. But then it started going to the point where, like, oh, you know what? He's a storyteller. It's like, duh. He's a great storyteller. Yeah. And then the thing about it, he's telling truthful stories. So basically, he's just like, you know, letting you go through his life in the eyes of Charlie Murphy.
He was one of the most intimidating people.
Coming in a room, he owned a room.
My dad, man, I've been trying to get my dad to tell me I'm his number one comedian forever. Right. I don't know what type of character he thinks is going to build, but first he loved Bernie Mac. Bernie Mac passed away. You know, God, you know,
right.
God bless the day, RIP. But once Bernie Mac passed away, I was like this. Well, looks like I'm about to hit that number you one got, yeah. spot.
The number one spot is open.
I'm not going to ask how it happened, whatever. And then my father was, he told me one day, and I was like, you know, you think you're having a father-dad moment? Yeah. I'm like, I'm just ready to be like, thanks, Dad.
Right.
He was like, you know who? He said, man, I'm so sorry to hear about Charlie. I mean, he said, I'm so sorry to hear about Bernie Mac. He said, man, but I got to admit, man, you know who my favorite comedian is now? And I wanted to say,
oh, your heart's
dad.
Melting.
Yeah, he said, Charlie Murphy.
That's right, Nelson.
But my dad hey, is Nelson, a gangster,
you're
right?
A good boy, Nelson.
Yeah. My
you're
dad
all right,
is a
Nelson.
Gangster. And the reason why he liked, he said, man, that dude had a skull. He had a grit. Yeah. He just loved that toughness about
yeah,
him.
Yeah, no, he was tough, no doubt.
He was a tough person.
I like that he made his own, like I guess it would be the Nation of Islam type thing where you remember, I'm changing your name. I'm changing who you are because that's what I say, and you just have to walk around
and
with that.
And that's it. And then, but you get people that follow that. Another thing people don't know about him, Charlie wrote, like, he was a writer.
Yeah.
That movie, and however you feel about the movie Norbit,
yeah.
I remember that was part of one of his jokes. And then, you know, him and his brother talked about it. I was like, that could be a movie. And basically, Eddie Green lit the movie, got the deal just on the premise. I remember Charlie Murphy said, I'm going to go on vacation for about a month. I'm like, for what? He said, man, Nelson. He said, Nelson, I just got to come up, son. They gave him like six figures to start writing on this movie. And as much as people want to talk about how they want to judge people's, oh, that movie, I didn't really like it.
Right.
What are you doing with your day?
It's still tough to write a movie.
Like
90% of movies suck.
Yeah, but I'm talking about this. He locked himself basically in a hotel room for 30 days, got his laptop out, and he did a draft in 30 days.
Wow.
He drafted a movie in 30 days. So when people want to judge and like blah, 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 what are you doing with your dash?
Yeah, try to get one done. Yep. Try to get a movie in 30 days. I don't even know where to start.
Try to get a movie on screen.
Yeah, right. At all.
You know, like when I've been on HBO's The Wire. I've been on The Corner. I've been on Law & Order. I've been on things that people see me do, you know, dramatic roles and stuff. And the first thing is like, they don't realize, like when you get a role like a regular on The Wire or The Corner or something like that, it wasn't like you against one or two people.
Right.
It was you against the best talent in the country.
Yeah. Yep.
East Coast and West Coast. So every time one person you see and you want to hate on their acting ability, whatever, just think about that role. He probably beat out like
they
200 to 500.
Yeah.
No kidding. I turned that role in The Wire down, by the way. I turned that role down. You're welcome.
That's what I'm saying. You said to yourself, Black Lives Matter, and you let me get.
I said, you know what? I'm tired of taking. I'm going to give. I'm going to be a giver.
This country is too great now. Let's let Donnell get a chance.
Who's it between?
Give
it to Donnell.
I like Donnell. We'll let him have that. When you mentioned the best talent in the world, I knew you were just trying to be nice.
Yeah.
Make it seem bigger than just me.
You know what? But I'm glad that you could see that.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Your listeners need to know that you have the perception.
Yes, thank you.
You can see into the future. You know what it is.
Please.
It's all for that MILF life.
That's exactly it. And Donnell Rawlings is going to be at the Tempe Improv this weekend long. You go see him and all weekend, starting tonight and all the way through. You're going to be kind of worn out tomorrow because hopefully one of the MILFs takes to you.
You know, I don't know. What's that? BJ Day? What is that?
Yeah,
like
March
steak and
BJ.
So you mean the MILFs give you steak and BJ Day outside of the actual holiday?
If you want it. If you play your cards right, I have a feeling that can happen. You've got celebrity on your side.
Who can get it?
Who
going to lotion me up tomorrow?
Ashley Larry getting lubed up is not a bad idea.
Funny. I'm ready for it. I'm so ready for
What flavor do you like the most? We'll get a small sample.
Cocoa butter.
You like the cocoa butter?
Cocoa butter. I like cocoa butter.
Why is that? Does that work the best for ashy skin?
I don't know. I don't know. Back maybe 400 years ago, I don't know if it was mined in cocoa fields. I don't know how it happened. But whenever, especially with a black person, it's got to be cocoa
it
something.
It is cocoa butter.
Yeah, cocoa's intense.
I feel weird about like mentioning it to somebody. My friend...
But you know what? I saw this thing. This is what my graphic dude. He was telling me that ashy is like a derogatory term.
Oh, is it
in certain cultures? Oh, I didn't know that. It was like when you say ashy Larry, or you say ashy, it's talking down to somebody.
Really?
I didn't understand that. And one of my friends, he sent me this video of Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
She was doing one before one of her fights. She was doing one of those 24/7 documentaries where they follow you, whatever.
Right, right.
She got in an argument with one of her trainers or whatever. Right. I don't remember what the beef is, but she. Went up to him. She was like, yeah, I don't think it's right. You shouldn't talk like that. That's just like if I go up to bust sorry.
That's all right. It happens.
It's like if I go up to Mike and say Ashy Larry, but she said like it was an ugly
like
word.
It was
I didn't know it was
a,
Ashy was an offensive word.
Yeah, it's just how you call someone Ashy Larry. I'm trying to offend
at a
you.
At funeral
with it.
Home, it doesn't go over well either. Like the
if what?
Yeah, you don't you know, Ashy Larry.
Like
yeah.
A funeral
oh yeah, yeah.
Crematorium.
Yeah,
not
crematorium.
A big, not
yeah, that's
a big fan
good
of the
place.
Ashy thing.
But I love. You know, I've been Ashy. People like, do you ever get upset when people call you Ashy? I'm like, I was Ashy my entire life. In fact, when Dave talked to me about the character, he said, what are you going to do to prepare for this role, Ashy Larry? I said, I'm going to take a shower and stand out and dry for 10 minutes, and I'll be the ashiest person in Hollywood. And that's how Ashy was born.
Are you still Ashy, or have you remedied the ashes?
I mean, like right now, I was in another studio, and she lotioned me up pretty good.
Is that right?
Yeah, but it's only like a 10 to 15 minute window. I'll be Ashy.
And you'll be Ashy again soon. Yeah. Is it a scourge in your life? Is it just a constant, why so much Ashiness?
No, I love it. He's an LLC. I was smart enough. It's my intellectual property
you
now.
Took it.
Yeah, I'm like this. I was too late on I'm Rich Bitch, but I got Ashy Larry. Comedy Central beat me to the punch.
They
on that
stole
one.
That. That's yeah. Ashy Larry is but yours.
But I'm telling you, man, I'm not. I go to a lot of cities, whatever, but that's my experience from leaving the airport to here, it's been great.
Good,
the energy's been vibe. So I
let's
hope
keep
this
it together.
I hope this. Transfers into great shows tonight.
Of course
weekend.
It will. Of course it will. So long as nobody punches you, you got that black eye, you got to open up with 10
nah,
minutes of what happened to you.
I'm, yeah, I'm like, it wasn't me. You were looking for Nelson.
Yeah. Nelson hit me. Donnell Rawlings, Tempe Improv, 480-921-9877. If you want to go, TempeImprov.com. You'll be back tomorrow. All things
milk
going
contest,
well.
All
milk
day.
Contest will be judging. And we will. We'll come up with an Ashy Larry segment.
Who can get it?
Who can get it
yeah,
with Ashy
and I,
Larry?
And I, the reason why.
Back that up.
Yo,
yeah.
Who can get it?
Yeah, back that Ash up.
And then can we play that song when they if they win? Like, who can get it?
Oh, yeah.
You know why she can get it? She can back that ass up. You think she can get it? She can back that ass up. Yo, let's kill her tomorrow. Why she just got it? She backed that ass up.
You're going to back that ass up into Ashy Larry. Back the Ash up. We'll play. That's happening. That's happening.
Oh, wait a minute.
The whole
did you
thing.
Say back that
back
ash
that
up?
Ash up.
Oh, yeah. We're winning, son.
We're winning. It's, this is easy. Yeah. See, I told you. That's why I turned the wire down. I had better ideas.
I will be here. I will be here. I will be here.
Awesome. Donnell Rawlings, leave us with words of wisdom, sir. I always ask. Tell us something. You've already done it. The Dash thing is pretty sweet.
Dash is pretty tough.
This is what I always tell, especially young comics, anybody in entertainment. They always ask me, what can I do? What's the number one thing you can say? In my phrase, I tell everybody, go hard or go home.
Yeah.
They said in Hawaii for surfing, go big or go home.
Yeah.
Go hard or go home. If you're not gonna go hard, stay home. Go hard
Beautiful.
Or go home.
On everything you do.
And live your dash, bitch.
That's a hashtag. Donnell Rawlings, thanks, man. Appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow. That'll be great. It's 98 KUPD.
What happens after the show?
You're going to love it. You're going to love it.
Find out on the HNS All Access Podcast. Roll now through the 98 KUPD app.
Hey, it's John Holmberg here. I've been talking to you about Testrogain, and it's your turn. Go to ZMANow.com, enter the promo code JOHN20, and get 20% off your order of Testrogain, and make that testosterone your body's craving.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.